Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast is brought to you by StarCharge, the largest EV charging manufacturer in the world, and is also a provider of residential and commercial battery storage and microgrid solutions. And KimPower, the reliable, quick, and scalable EV charging solutions for everyone and everywhere. Hello, friends, and welcome back to the Out of Spec podcast. I'm Francie, your host for today's episode. And man, oh man, a lot of you are going to be happy to hear the news we have today. And if you're watching on YouTube, you'll be able to see my guest here, Jose from Rivian Tracker. Welcome, Jose. Thanks for coming on to help break the news to our audience that Rivian owners and drivers are now able to charge on the Tesla Supercharger network as of today, March 18th, 2024 at 9 a.m. Pacific time. And of course, you'll need an adapter to do so, but technically it is possible if you have one right now, although most people don't. Thank you again, Jose, for coming on. You are our resident Rivian go-to with your Rivian Tracker, you know, footprint.
Yeah, perfect. No, thank you for having me, Francie. Always a pleasure to be on Out of Spec and chatting with you all things Rivian.
Yes, of course. Thank you. The announcement, I'll give some people some details. We received these details direct from Rivian, hence why we are able to announce this just as the embargo lifts, just as the access becomes official. So the supercharger access is for all R1 vehicles going live right now, 9 a.m. PT today. And they're really excited, as they say, to showcase the comprehensive experience, including seamless payments and the in-car navigation features, all really important to the seamless, easy, carefree charging experience that we all want. And it is important to note that while folks in media or folks who have lucky access or maybe who have invested in a not made by auto manufacturer adapter are able to charge on the network, charge their CCS vehicles on the Tesla Supercharger network, but the adapters, as Rivian says, will not arrive for their customers until a short time after this announcement. So unsure exactly when that will be, but Jose, I would love for you to tell me anything that you know, because I know that I don't have all the information, and we will link to all your stuff in the show notes as well. But how does this make you feel as a Rivian driver, one, and then what else do we need to know?
Yeah, for sure. So first off, I am beyond excited. You know, this is a monumental moment, but in the grand scheme of things, it's also like not exciting. So let me take a step back. What I mean by that is plugging in your non-Tesla vehicle into a Tesla supercharger is very exciting. And then it starts charging and then you're like, okay, well, that was fun. And now it's just charging and it works. And that's okay. That's how it should be, right? It should be that seamless. And so I used to have a Tesla Model Y, and something that I loved about owning a Tesla was a Tesla supercharger network, right? That is what Tesla really is, like, they do so well. Be able to road trip, be able to do travels, be able to not have to worry about running out of electricity, just popping into a Tesla supercharger, unplugging from a dispenser, plugging into your vehicle, and boom, done, right? You don't have to even think about it. Mm-hmm. And so that seamless integration is so phenomenal, right? Love that. So owning a Rivian now, you know, I've had a Rivian since May of 2022. So coming in almost at 2 years here now, traveling using a CCS network is difficult. It's uncertain, right? That's really what it comes down to. It's like, it could either work or it will not work. And frankly, you on a VinFast, you know, VF8 now, right? And you've done some traveling with it yourself. And so this is not just Rivian specific, but you know, right? Like, it's a hit or miss. You never really know.
Yeah, you never really know.
Yeah. And so, but we now have this new certainty, right? We know that Tesla supercharging networks are reliable, right? When the out-of-spec team ran the rate your charge, we saw the numbers, right? We saw the ratings come through for the Tesla supercharging network and how reliable they were. It was very rare that you encounter an issue where, first of all, the whole station was down, right? The whole location was down. Maybe you had a one-off dispenser that just wasn't working, but yeah, that was pretty. So what has this been for Rivian owners? What this means for Rivian owners is this. If your Rivian R1T, R1S is running the latest software, and so that's 2024.07, 0.02 or 0.03, they're identical. There's just different sub-releases. Beginning today, you can now hop on over to almost any V3 or V4 Tesla supercharging location. I say almost because, first off, if it's a version 2 supercharger, those will not work at all because those are not CCS enabled. And so we'll have to wait for Tesla to go in and update the hardware there in order to be able to actually connect and charge there, which ideally is a good thing because the V2 chargers are slower anyways. So we want to get in there with the V3 and the V4 networks. And so you can pop in, pull out the cable from the Tesla dispenser, plug in your NACS to CCS adapter, plug it into your Rivian vehicle, and that's all you have to do. So obviously, being the Rivian tracker software guy that I consider myself, I was trying to figure out, hey, what are the owners such as myself or others are going to see or experience. So here's kind of what we can expect. And of course, I'll supplement this with a video that maybe Francie can include or link to. So first time user experience in the navigation, right? So it will pop up and notify you, hey, by the way, you can now charge the Tesla supercharger. It will show you an animation that will show you how to use the adapter. And this will feature kind of similar to exactly the Ford, it's the same Ford adapter that we've seen Ford owners use. So it'll kind of show you a little bit of animation showing you, plug in the adapter to the cable, then plug into your vehicle, right? And then it also explains to you how to remove it following the steps of unlatching and then removing the, because there's a two-step process. It will then show you something that was added in the most recent software version of Rivian, the 2024.07, was that now there's a new filter option that says hide. And so you can hide chargers that are incompatible. So that would be like V2 superchargers that are not compatible, or even V3 that maybe haven't made the transition over yet to be CCS compatible. You can also filter or hide chargers that do require an adapter. So let's say you don't have an adapter right now and you don't want the navigation to utilize that, it will skip those, right? So that's a really nice little feature. So that is already in there, but it will actually begin to function. You can also, by the way, it also supports out of order. So like if a charger, and this is applicable to like all chargers, not just Tesla, but I do know that Rivian has worked with Tesla directly to make sure that we're getting live updates, just like you can on a Tesla vehicle, of how many chargers are available or not. So if something's out of order, it will show out of order.
Love that. Dynamic data.
Yep, yep. Moving to your mobile app, as long as you're running the latest software version of the Rivian app, which if you haven't, it's already out, but you can go just double check the Google Play Store or the iOS App Store. Make sure you have the latest software update. I think it's 2.7.3 on the latest version. And so that will include a couple of things. Number one, similar to the navigation on the vehicle, it will now show you NACS chargers in the trip planner. So again, Tesla will show up on there. You will also, and we kind of talked a little bit about this in the earlier recording, but definitely plug and share will work with Rivian mobile app. That is, you know, now officially confirmed, quote unquote. But just got to make sure that, I think the biggest caveat there is to ensure that you have configured a payment method in the Rivian app. Okay. So that it automatically bills you. And otherwise, the first time you try it, it will throw a vehicle error saying unauthorized payment or payment failed. And you'll have to just go into the app and set up a payment method.
Mm-hmm.
Some additional stuff within the Rivian mobile app. You will be able to see live charging graphs as well as charging costs and charging controls directly on there. So pretty much everything, if anybody has used the Tesla app to supercharge, you're going to get all of that same information, but on the Rivian app. So I love that cross dynamic, you know, work together stuff, optimization, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's really good. And then this little tidbit that I found out is even a little bit more fun. It's not a huge deal, but like, I think it's a big deal and it will make a difference. And that is, Rivian worked with Tesla to make seamless plug and charge. So we kind of already talked about that, but, they have promised that it will be even faster than the competition. So, meaning they worked very closely with Tesla to make sure the handshake is as quick, if not the same as when you're doing with a Tesla, when you're plugging in a Tesla vehicle.
Do you think that didn't happen with Ford, or it wouldn't happen with other automakers, or is it just that they are working together in this?
So what I've noticed, and let me give you an example. During our break here, when we were after this podcast recording, I went and watched the latest out of spec New Jersey to Florida F-150 right. Lightning video, all 3.5 hours of it.
Yeah, and, I'll link that in the show notes.
Yeah. And so in watching that, as I was watching Kyle and Dave plug in the Lightning, there was definitely a delay, I want to say. And it's not a massive delay, but the handshake took a little bit longer. When I, let's say, last week I borrowed my friend's Model Y while my truck was getting some work done. And so I went to a supercharger and plugged in the Model Y. It's plug in, it goes, you know, that's my imitation of connectors clicking. And then it immediately started charging, right? You just see that instantaneous. There is definitely a lag or a delay when I saw Kyle and Dave like plug in their F1. I haven't personally experienced that, but I'm just going off what I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
I was told here that this is going to be even faster, if not instantaneous. I don't expect it to be instantaneous as like plugging in a Tesla, because right then and there, you know, I feel like that's just native integration. Whereas here there is like certificates that have to be exchanged and, you know, there's mm-hmm. but it'll be interesting. I will want to do a test. Like I want to sit there and test an F-150 Lightning and a Rivian and see, you know, time it, do it at the same exact time and see what that handshake looks like, because both of these vehicles support plug and charge. So I there's no reason to do that, but
Maybe there will be a handshake arms race between the automakers.
And do those seconds really make a difference? I mean, no, I don't think it's going to make a break deal for anybody, but it's really cool to see and hear that they are working to make it seamless and even faster.
Yes, great cooperation between the automakers. So we have an idea of what we'll be able to see on as Rivian drivers, which I'm unfortunately not, but on their displays in the app. Not yet. Yeah. Yes. Manifest that. How it'll have some dynamic data. I mean, it just really seems like more details on how the experience is going to be great for plugging in a Rivian on the supercharger network and navigating there.
I It definitely sounds like, and until we're 100% certain, and this is when we really see it and you know, and play with it, but it definitely sounds like Rivian and Tesla worked really close together to make sure the software part of it worked nicely. And so I think that's really important. And I'm glad they did.
I think it asks an interesting question of how equitable are the experiences going to be across the new automakers coming onto the supercharger network. That is limited by also software and hardware and what these different automakers, how they approach the EV platforms with which they work. So some of the things are limited by that. Hopefully it's not limited by anything else besides capability, and that everyone will be getting as close to an experience as another driver would be. But it would be interesting to see if that becomes a part of this competition, which I don't know. I don't know how fair that sounds, but it is interesting either way.
I mean, and honestly, it sounds like, I mean, I don't think Rivian really like has an extra advantage over anybody else. I think it really just depends on the software teams wanting to work together to make it as optimal and perfect as possible. And so the question is, if it really is a difference, if we really start seeing that like integration differences, the question then becomes, why didn't Ford do that? Or why didn't Rivian do this? Or why didn't Kia, right? Like, that really becomes a question. Is it a, yay, we support superchargers now, great, go have fun. Or is it a, we're integrating this into our full UI, into the software, so that it's beautiful, it's perfect, and the user driver has the best experience?
Yes.
Rivian has been very nice in working with Tesla to integrate plug and charge. So what this means is, as long as you have a valid credit card set up in your Rivian app, you don't even have to download the Tesla app. You can plug in and it will bill you automatically through there. So a couple of caveats to that, though. So here's where things get a little interesting. Number one, Tesla does offer a discounted rate with a monthly plan. So you, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's $12.99 a month that you can pay. And it pretty much gives you this Tesla supercharging plan. All that does is that lowers the cost of your kilowatt, right? Your kilowatt hour per hour cost. And so let's say, for example, my local nearby supercharger charges 49 cents a kilowatt. This will bring it down, let's say, to 42 cents, right? And so you have to figure out if, you know, do you drive enough and charge enough to like, counter the savings. But here's where it gets a little bit tricky. If you're using plug and charge, and this actually applies to Ford vehicles as well, since they're already charging on the Tesla network. If you use plug and play, you know, plug and charge with the Rivian app, and you signed up for that $12.99 monthly plan, it actually does not talk to each other. So it will not know that you have such a plan, and it will just bill you straight up the whatever the normal cost, so the higher cost. So what that means is that if you are interested in, let's say, paying Tesla directly, you know, a monthly fee to lower the cost, you will have to initiate that charging session via the Tesla app before you plug in. Because the go-to is plug your Rivian in, it will automatically bill Rivian and, you know, whatever. But if you do it the other way around, you know, you'll go through your app and say, hey, I'm charging my non-Tesla EV. I've already configured my Rivian vehicle in here. You hit start charging, you select your dispenser that you're at, and then you plug in. That will then bill through Tesla so that you can get that discounted rate. And so I just wanted to make that clear, because I don't think that information is widely known or being really shared for a variety of reasons. And so I just wanted to make that clear, because if you're looking to save some money, you know, you kind of, it's either a savings or ease of use, right? So like plug and charge, great, but you're gonna pay a little bit more, or you gotta do a little bit more work, but you'll save some money by doing that.
That is a really important note that I know that we've gotten comments and questions on, is how does the membership play into things when Ford went live on the network? So I think I really appreciate you bringing that up. Do you think that in the future that will be different?
I hope so. I've asked, but I haven't really been given much explanation, or they're kind of like, it's in the pipeline. So maybe, but you know, I won't hold my breath over it. I wouldn't hold my breath over that. So, but
okay. And before we started chatting, you know, we're filming this ahead of time, of course, on the day before, actually. But when this goes live, you were telling me about where you will be. Do you want to share with our audience where you'll be sitting?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So knowing this, having this information is really exciting. So I'm going to go head out to my local V3 supercharger, Tesla supercharger that I have here in Winter Garden, Florida, where I've actually, and we'll get into that in a little bit, previously charged my Rivian successfully. And so I'm going to hang out there. I'm lucky to have purchased an A2Z EV NACS to CCS adapter. It is a third-party adapter. And I've used this successfully. So I'm going to go hang out there, and I want to be one of the first, right, to officially plug in and charge when it's gone live, and see how it goes, and just kind of experience the whole plug and play, the plug and charge, because that aspect of it, still hasn't worked, right? It hasn't previously worked until now. So I want to see how easy it is going to be to use. And then I'll create a little video and post it up on my channel, and I'll share it with you guys as well.
Great. Thank you. Yeah. Technically you might've been able to charge on this supercharger network with your Rivian before today, but it wasn't the full access basically that Rivian has achieved and is announcing today. So I think that's important to note. I don't think a lot of people were out there ahead of time like you charging. And we've seen, it really does depend on which EVs have access, Ford now, Rivian, there's just two, but if you charge in another CCS vehicle, it's not going to work. And you saw that firsthand, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it definitely does look like Tesla has different certificates set up for different car manufacturers. And so they can go in and enable that, charging situation. And so, for example, very quick story, but on last Friday, I went out to a Tesla supercharger, that same one that I'm going to go to here in Winter Garden. It's my local V3 charger. And I was told, a little birdie told me, hey, if you want to try it out, you might be able to successfully charge. So I said, okay. Let's go check it out. So I got there. The first thing I tried to do was I just plug and played, right? So I connected my adapter to the Tesla NAC cable, plugged into my vehicle. It thought about it for a second. It went green for a brief moment, and then an error threw up on my screen that said payment unauthorized. And so that had been a new error that I haven't experienced before. So that's kind of where I figured that Tesla enabled it, but Rivian was not accepting payment. So they were blocking it. So then I said, okay, well, let's try this. Let's try a different way. Let's go through the Tesla app and enable that session. So now you have to do a little bit of sorcery here, because at that time, when you select a Rivian vehicle to charge on the non-Tesla app or on the Tesla app, it doesn't show any superchargers, right? Because technically they're not enabled. So what I did was I created a fake vehicle. I selected a Ford Mach-E. And it suddenly gave me access to all the superchargers. So I was able to select, I was charging on 2D. I hit start charging. It said, okay, take the cable out, plug in the adapter, and plug in your vehicle. So I did that. Took a few seconds, and wouldn't you know it, it started charging. I got the green light, and I charged for a good 35 minutes with no issues, and at a very nice, about 208, 209 kilowatts of charge rate. So it was pulling very close to 500 amps, which is very, very nice. And nice. Something the Ford vehicles are not capable of doing right now. They're limited to 450. So, that worked. Then again, I went on Saturday to try again, and it didn't work. And that just goes to show you that Rivian and Tesla were obviously doing testing. And it was kind of just be at the right moment at the right time. And I posted a video, so maybe that Tesla saw the video and went, oh, no, we need to cut that out, right? It's too early. It's not time for that yet. So, it is what it is. Yeah. But the idea is to get it out there. And I think really the holdup is going to be the adapters, the official Tesla NACS to CCS adapters. Mm-hmm. Those are going to be the biggest holdup here.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. And I wanted to give everyone some background on, how we got here, because things are changing. Ford, obviously the first automaker to gain access to the supercharger network. They have what they call their blue oval network, but it's not really a network. And I think it's silly that they refer to it as one, but Rivian did actually, and is still building out the Rivian Adventure Network. And I'm taking this from their page, but if you have a Rivian, you know about it, but it's their own charging network that is exclusive to Rivian drivers. And it was free charging also up until late last year, but now you have to pay. But they call it a comprehensive network of fast charging sites that are were initially capable of adding up to 140 miles of range in 20 minutes to the R1T and the R1S, and that they plan to grow it to more than 3,500 fast chargers at over 600 sites across the US and Canada. So you can still use that network, but obviously the Tesla Supercharger network is ubiquitous and it is reliable and consistent, as you have said, Jose. I'd like to ask you about the greater impacts of this. We know this is obviously a value add, a complete game changer for those driving EVs, Ford and Rivian and everyone else that's going to get access in the future. But there is a distinction between Ford and Rivian, right? Rivian is a startup, Ford not so much. So what do you think might the impact be, and you know, the magnitude, and how different do you think it is for Rivian to get access compared to Ford? You know, do you think it's a bigger deal for Rivian drivers because it's a startup EV company? Do you think it impacts Ford differently? Do you think there's a difference there?
Yeah, and I do. So I know plenty of people who have been really excited about wanting to purchase a Rivian R1 vehicle, but I hear it firsthand. There's two real big things that hold people back. One is pricing. Understandable, right? They're not cheap vehicles. But Rivian has made it a little bit easier to get into one, especially now with selling demo vehicles, which they are, and leasing opportunities, right? Because leasing can really get you at a nice monthly payment, and then you can buy it out at the end if you really want to. But then the second biggest thing has been charging, right? Especially like, you know, the question has always been, oh, well, like, where do I charge this? Can I use a Tesla charger? It's like, well, no, not right now. You can't, maybe in the future. And then once Rivian announced that they were going to work with Tesla to gain access, then it was more of a, when is that coming? And it was like, well, we don't know, 2024, right? And then as we got closer now to this date, I'm starting to hear more people really make, you know, kind of settle on the decision to be like, you know, maybe it's time to finally buy a Rivian. Maybe it's time to, now that they'll gain access to Tesla superchargers, I'm not so worried about being able to travel and road trip and all that. And so I think what really makes a difference there is, you know, between Ford and Rivian is, like you said, Ford has this Blue Oval network, right? I use, you know, we use the term loosely because I don't really see Ford Blue Oval, like, I don't claim to be an expert, right? I don't know, but I haven't really seen one, right? Rivian is obviously building out the Rivian Adventure Network, their RAN. You know, we just got our first one here in Florida. I checked it out. It was a phenomenal experience, right? Plug in, just like Tesla, right? You plug in, it just works. It's beautiful.
Good.
But those are still slow to ramp up, right? Like they're building, but they're not building as fast as Tesla's building superchargers, right? You know, you see that they're building so many in a day. It's crazy. So that's where I think the different, you know, so what I think is Ford being a more traditional manufacturer, you know, I think the F-150 owners, the Mach-E owners, I mean, first, okay, this is where it gets tricky. So like, I think that there's already a difference between Mach-E owners and F-150 Lightning owners, right? Like there's already there a difference, right? Where I feel like Mach-E owners are like more of the new to EV, you know, they're like the people that would, you know, alternatively buy, like they want to buy a Model Y maybe, but they're like, well, I don't want to buy a Tesla or whatever reason. So they, you know, they go with the Ford Mach-E, whereas the F-150 Lightning, I think, is more of a cool toy to have, right? It's kind of like there are some people who use it for work truck, but a lot of the people I've met that use it are using it for some of the towing or just, you know, city living, right? We live in the United States. We like our big vehicles and we like our big trucks. Do I need to have a Rivian R1T? No, of course not, but I love it. It's great. And I love having a truck. So I think that the impact here is with Rivian, it's a startup, like you said. It's an EV startup. It still has that excitement of like that fresh, brand new car smell still. And the people who drive Rivians, I think, are more prone or are more into being an early adopter. And they're excited about, you know, wanting to get in there, especially because I know a lot of people who had Teslas, like myself, who got a Rivian and were like, disappointed because they're like, oh, now I have to rely on Electrify America or EVgo, right? And like, you know, you look at what people are saying. It's like, oh my goodness, right? Does it work? Does it not work? So I don't know. I feel like it's going to be a huge plus for Rivian. I hope that Rivian takes this and goes, listen, like, you know, use it for marketing, use it for advertising, right? Tell people that this is now an option. You're gaining mm-hmm. access to 12,000, 15,000 new chargers, right? You're expanding that and more, right? Because they're building new ones all the time. And not just like kind of let it sit on the sidelines. I've seen some people comment that that Rivian in their communication, you know, they don't use the word mm-hmm. Tesla supercharger. They just say kind of, oh, you know, we're opening up to the superchargers, and most people understand what that means, but like we gotta give credit where credit's due. It's the Tesla supercharging network. They spend their money, they build it out. So you know, I think it'll be good for Rivian though.
I think that's a good point. There's a lot of potential to use this, as every automaker has, saying that this is a value, clear value add to their customers, a improvement on the experience, but to really lean into that, especially when it can be such a convincing factor in buying your EV over another automaker's. So completely agree with you on that point. And in the future for, you know, we're dealing with the adapter right now, which do we know how folks will get the adapter for Rivian yet?
So, like, mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's fine. Sorry. So Rivian, as of this recording, they haven't really said how the adapter situation will work, but
cool.
You know, RJ and the Rivian team has said that, you know, current R1 owners will get an adapter for free. Pure speculation would be that it would be very similar to Ford, right? That they're going to mm-hmm. have a, you know, you're going to have to go kind of buy it for free, but you know, that way it puts you kind of in a queue and you get in it and you'll get it for free. I think the part that kind of concerned me a little bit with that is just that Ford is already backed ordered, you know, their adapters are now October, September timeline. Mm-hmm. And I've heard that it's the same manufacturer that's making them, obviously it's through Tesla. So like the question is, do we just fall in the back of that line? Right. And now we're like looking at September.
That's October. A good question. Yeah. Or is it like they've saved, you know, they know which automakers are coming next. So they've saved and lined it up to at least some Rivian owners get it. But that's a good question. So if we had that information, we would give it to you. We do not. If I find any links, like when this goes live, I'll put it in the show notes so y'all can look at that. But we'll follow up again. We'll be covering this more. And of course, Rivian recently launched R2 and R3 and R3X, you know, at their R2 launch event and showed what their concept cars, right? But what their plans are for the future of Rivian, and those future vehicles from the company will feature a native J3400 North American Charging Standard NACS Tesla connector port in the future. And we know details about that. So you won't need an adapter one day. But now you will to access the supercharger network, which Rivian owners, Rivian drivers, Rivian EVs, R1Ts, and R1Ss can do as of today. Pretty exciting. I would love to know from our audience, who is, do you have, you know, like an A to Z off-brand adapter, or not off-brand, but someone's brand adapter that you're
third
going
party,
to go.
Yeah, third party adapter. There that's we go. What they are, yeah.
Yes, yes. And are you going to go try it on the network? Would love to hear it. Yeah, how excited does this make you? Is this going to convince you to buy a Rivian? Would love to know from our audience. Jose, is there anything else you think that anyone listening or watching should know?
Yeah, so before we wrap up, I want to talk a little bit about third-party adapters, only because I feel like this is the right place and the right time to talk about it. So,
sure.
I bought this A to Z adapter. There's a couple of different other brands out there. And the reason I went with this one is because the CEO reached out to me. I spoke to him. I spoke to some engineers as well that work at different EV manufacturers. And it was the one that was highly recommended to them. Like, if you have to wait for the OEM version, this is an alternatively good one. And so there is a lot of talk out there about, hey, will using a third-party adapter damage my vehicle? And I say this because Rivian, for example, has put out a statement, like it was in their website, pretty much saying, hey, you know, using a third-party adapter that's not the one that Tesla or Rivian will sell you could damage your vehicle, could damage the supercharger, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I think the part we have to remember here is two things. Is number one, that is lawyer talk. And I don't mean that in any bad way. I'm just mean the company such as Rivian, for example, they need to CYA, right? They need to cover themselves and they need to know that something, could potentially happen. But more importantly too, is as this third party adapters for J3400 opens up, we're going to start seeing a lot of really cheap knockoff things go up on Amazon or any of these other sites. And those are the ones you need to not, those are the ones that you cannot be buying. Somebody reached out and said, hey, I was looking to buy an adapter on Amazon. I found one for $30. And I was like, you need to stay away from that as far as you can, because those are the ones that these companies are talking about. Mm-hmm. Stay away from them, because you look at the Tesla official one, right? It has sensors inside of it, the temperature sensors and all that. The A2Z one, for example, has temperature sensors as well. This is what will help if something does happen to shut off the connection and make sure that nothing gets damaged, right? But when you're looking at buying a $20, $30 cheap adapter, that's not going to have any of these security safety sensors in there. And that's really what we need to be concerned about. So I am no expert. And of course, as I say, I think Francie, we can both agree that, with your vehicle, it's always a risk. You do what you want, that's it. But I will take the risk on mine to make sure that to test it out and help, get the word out if it's good or not. But I can understand the hesitation on some people. But don't be, if you read some of the warranties on some of these vehicles, I know on the Cybertruck, it tells you don't go off-roading, right? Don't take your vehicle off-road. That's a ridiculous statement, right? But they're saying that because they want to know that if you do damage to your vehicle, that in that scenario, Tesla's not responsible. In this scenario, Rivian's not responsible. It is something that we just have to do as a risk. So just be careful out there. Definitely keep an eye out here at Out-of-Spec. Keep an eye out on me. We'll make sure that we don't lead you astray when it comes to looking at alternatives to the official Tesla adapter.
Yeah, I would say definitely be patient, be smart, be careful when it comes to adapters, and it'll just get better and better. But yeah, steer clear from, just random ones on the internet. Make sure you check them out and really be safe. I think you're totally right. Everyone should be looking out for themselves. Automakers are doing that. And now with the, Rivian signed this agreement in June. They're the second automaker after Ford. I know some people were wondering who's going to come next. It doesn't seem to be totally in chronological order, according to their announcements. A lot of automakers did sign in June, though. So we will see who comes next. I haven't heard any whispers yet, but I'm sure it'll keep rolling out and we will keep covering it. So thank you, Jose, for sharing your Rivian knowledge, your Rivian experience with me and our audience. I really appreciate it and look forward to having you on the next time too.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
I'll keep up to date with how your charging, your plug and plays go.
Yes.
Good luck.
Yes. Keep an eye out.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in again for another electric episode of the Out of Spec podcast. Congratulations, Rivian owners, drivers, and Rivian. We'll see you next time on the next episode. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.